Watch this, family. Where visionary guidance, effective communication, and team empowerment. What are we talking about today? Well, family, stay tuned as today's episode is entitled, What is Leadership in Project Management? Again, what is leadership in project management? If this is your first time tuning in, I am your boy ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. If you don't understand, family, this is one of my favorite titles, or I should say one of my favorite attributes of project management is leadership. Another one, if you guys don't know, is communication as well as collaboration. Anyway, family, well, the reason why I love this so much, I'm going to give you my 7-point framework and then we up out of here. If you don't know what the 7-point framework, I guarantee you, you're going to pull something out of one of these 7 points that will really help you on your project management journey. So let's jump right into it. First point is visionary guidance. What does that look like? You know, family, when you're leading a project, to be able to have a clear and focused and inspiring vision that aligns with the team member and the project objectives is going to be key. You have to keep in mind, a lot of times with a project, if you haven't known, and you already should know if you're watching this channel, is a project is temporary in its endeavors, meaning it has a beginning date and an end date. If it doesn't have a beginning date and an end date, it is not a project. So being able to create a clear vision and give guidance about this during this as you're leading the project. You hear me say leading and not managing the project is going to be key. Let's get on to point number two. My favorite, what I'm writing a book on, if you have it, The Magnetic Project Manager is coming to a store near you September 1st. I'm hoping to get it in stores by September 1st of 2023. If you're listening to this recording at a later date. But anyway, the book is called The Magnetic Project Manager. Point number two is effective communication. Let me explain something to you, family. Strong leaders, I didn't say managers again, and you're probably going to hear that sentiment a lot, but strong leaders foster open communication. Ooh, I love that. Let me tell you why I love that, family, is because when you have open communication, let me explain what that looks like is when you and I, if I'm your leader and I'm giving you instructions, you're also giving me instructions back. You say, hey, you know what, ED, that didn't work what we did before. But let me tell you what are that piece that did work and how we can improve on what I've noticed by actually doing it. See, this is why I was reading something earlier last week, family, and it said, and I'm paraphrasing here, where it talked about that action is better than doctrine. And see, the reason why I love that is because it is true. I mean, doctrine to me is theory. Theory has to be proven through what? Through action. So again, effective communication. See, when you have effective in communications, you understand the goals. You understand the expectation. Because a lot of time, frustration comes out of expectation. I guess I'm on my pastor stuff right now again. Okay, let me calm down, family. I'm sorry, but I can't help it. Seriously, though, frustration comes from expectation. So, because when you have a certain expectation, so when we're leading this project, we have a certain expectation that's supposed to happen. And when it doesn't happen, then that's where the frustration comes in with your stakeholders. And that's why it's important during the tenure of the project, because the project has a what? Beginning and end date, that we convey clearly to all stakeholders what is going on through the whole project management journey. Let's get on to point number three. I'm having too much fun at this again, family, and I apologize, but I really don't. Let's keep moving. Point number three is team empowerment. We talking about collaboration. No, we're talking about team empowerment. What does that look like? Team empowerment means that you are creating the autonomy within your team. You're inspiring, you're motivating, you're ensuring that they're staying productive, and at the same time there's going to be moments where they don't enjoy it, but there's going to be moments where they will enjoy it, and you got to be there to support them at both ends, when they're not enjoying what they're doing and when they are enjoying what they're doing, because that's just part of the role that you signed up for when you decided to jump in this thing we call and we love called project management. So, and you know, empowering your team and letting your team know that, hey, I really got your back. And let me do a little quick small break. You can miss me with the, as my uncle would say, the verbal gymnastic, Just show up and actually execute. I don't need to know that you're going to say you're going to be there. And then when something happens, you don't show up. And then you're wondering why all of a sudden I'm looking at you crazy when another issue happened and I don't go to you. But I digress. I'm sorry, family. Let's move on to point number four. Point number four, this is huge. And project management is also in the book as well, in the Magnetic Project Manager book that is coming out on September 1st. It is conflict resolution. Listen. Through a project, you're going to have a lot of conflicts. You're going to have healthy conflicts, and you're going to have so many non-healthy conflicts. What does the non-healthy conflicts look like, ED? I'm so glad you asked. See, the non-healthy conflicts look like where someone is really trying to get their way, or watch this, or maybe they are right, and it's just bringing the team, getting the team up to speed to understand that I know you guys want to go that way, but listen, let me show you the research of why, or let me show you the evidence of why we need to go this way, because I really truly believe, and I'm willing to bet my career on this, that this is going to work. And so you have to understand that when you get in conflicts, everyone always jumps on the negative side of conflict, like all conflicts are bad. No, there are some healthy conflicts of us trying to find a vantage point, or us trying to find a point in which that, hey, we tested that out, that didn't work, we got to try something else out. And you really just testing everybody's theories, and then we take the best theory and then we go execute on it. So family, be ready to address the conflicts and challenges that come up, and don't run from them, run to them. Most project managers, sometimes they get nervous and don't want to be in the middle of conflicts. This is part of your role. This is what you signed up for. Unfortunately, you're going to have to deal with that. Also, on top of that, you're going to have to learn how to, when you have that happening on your call, you may have to mute people or kick them off the call and then meet with them individually to find out what is really going on. Stop doing this surface level cleanup. Let's get to the root of the problem of the conflict so then we can address it in a way that makes sense. Let's move on to point number five. Point number five, risk management. Risk management is going to be key in anything. You know, a lot of times we don't account for our risk properly. I believe that. I think exceptional leaders don't. They account for their risk. They're proactive. They're always looking ways to identify and mitigate and manage the risks that are coming their way. So as we know, a risk is an uncertainty. So you can't be certain it is going to happen, but you can be proactive when it does. Let's move on to point number six. Point number six, one of my favorites again, and I know I gave you some of my favorites. It's just like I got a favorite. Okay, I digress. But anyway, no, seriously though, family, being adaptable and flexible. When you're adaptable and flexible, it's not that you're not stuck in your ways. Okay, maybe you didn't like that. Okay, when you're adaptable and flexible, you have the vantage point that most project managers or people in the project management field will not have, and that's being able to pivot. Ooh, so many people are so nervous of pivot because of the dogma or the ideology that was given in the past, or maybe they tried to pivot before, and when they tried to pivot during the project, something happened. And you coming in with the confidence and knowing that, hey, if we have to pivot, we are willing. I tell my teams all the time, I'm willing to pivot if it makes sense based on the project need from the customer. And pivoting, just because we pivot, we're leveraging a methodology of a waterfall type methodology, then this means that we're gonna document properly so that way we can go back and look at it when we close this project out. And anyway, if you're leading a project as a project manager, you don't wait until the end to create your lessons learned. You should be leveraging that document, that lessons learned registered, through the entire life cycle of the project. Let's move on to point seven. This has been huge for me, which is mentorship and growth. You know, family, and this is point number seven, if you're unwilling to invest in yourself, how can you expect someone else to invest in you? I'll let you chew on that for a little bit. You done chewing? Okay, welcome back. So basically the reason why I invest so much of my energy and time in constantly development, I'm still a long ways to go just like everybody else, but I'm closer than I was yesterday. And what that means is that I'm willing to go invest in the books. I'm willing to go invest in the training courses that will allow me to get to the next level. And I want to be clear. I mean, as you jump into this career in project management, whether you're a program, project manager, project coordinator, business analyst, I mean business, BA, business analysis, or analyst, excuse me, business analyst. If you're one of these professions, you're always trying to find ways to improve your credit. You should be, I should say, because as technology with AI is constantly getting, is consistently getting larger and larger, you're going to have to find ways to adapt yourself, and through courses, through books, through mentorship, through people that basically, I love what Dan Kennedy said. He said, you need to follow the pioneers that have arrows in their back already because they've already been through it. So why are you going to go recreate the wheel? Why not just take the wheel and make it better based on the information and knowledge that you've had from the people that went before you? Anyway, family, I'll leave you with that. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. This has been your boy, E.D. Until next time, I'm out.